John chapter 1, verse number 14 is the text for our message this evening. I know we preached from John 1 a few weeks ago because we're preaching through the Gospel of John. But this verse I would like to think of this evening. This time of the year is a special time of the year. And no question about that fact. Commercialism, fairy tale-like stories have all but replaced what we really come to celebrate as believers this time of the year, and that is the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. But, nothing has taken away the special thought of what this reminder is about. We're not commanded in Scripture to celebrate Jesus coming as a baby. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we should celebrate the fact that Jesus came to earth. And yet, as you look at what took place that night, there was sure no shortage of celebration that night. When Jesus came, God sent angels from heaven to announce it and so on. There was certainly great celebration for the birth of Christ as he came, as God sent the star to guide those from the east and the angels to guide the shepherds and so on. Definitely, we would say there was a great celebration that day. And so I don't think it's wrong for us to celebrate the birth of Christ and the fact that he came. Now, we can get carried away and celebrate for the wrong reasons and the wrong things. But if we're celebrating the fact that Jesus came and the reason that he came, I think that's cause for celebration. And as believers, we should be glad that he came, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was you. And that was me. And that was every human being. He came to save us from our sins. And praise God, he provided the only means of salvation that is available by his coming to this earth. The main record of Jesus' birth, of course, is found in Luke chapter 2. Now you read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2, you'll find the edict or the decree that all the world should be taxed, Joseph and Mary going down to Bethlehem and so on. Matthew gives us an abbreviated version of the coming of Christ to the earth, in the sense it tells how the angel appeared to Joseph and told him what was going to take place. And the name of Jesus was to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mark just begins his gospel with the fact that Jesus is already an adult and John is baptizing and Jesus comes to be baptized. That's how the gospel of Mark begins. John goes in a way further back than any of them, because he talks about in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we come to our text, as we do this evening, where John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice what that parenthetical part of that verse there. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." We beheld his glory. Tonight I'd like us to think about beholding or behold his glory. Sometimes this time of the year we get carried away with Christmas lights and snowmen and all those kind of things that direct our attention away from the true glory of the season, that the Word was made flesh. And John, just like it's just a little added little thing there, "And we beheld his glory." Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, again, we are thankful for this time. We thank you for the great evening we've had already. We thank you for this portion of Scripture tonight, this one verse, and just these thoughts that we'll look at tonight. Lord, I pray that we would indeed behold your glory. You are a God who is great and glorious and worthy of all our praise. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not only tonight, but Lord, be challenged through this message tonight to behold your glory throughout this week, throughout this season of the year, and throughout every day of the coming year, that we would behold the glory of our great God and our Savior. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about it. Eyewitnesses of his majesty. It says that there, "We beheld his glory." The Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. Who is we? Well, we would naturally say John the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this verse, this chapter, this book. And so we would say, "We" is John. But "we" is plural. So we say, obviously, John and Peter and James and Simon, all the rest of the apostles, they beheld the glory of the Lord. John writes in the past tense, speaking about him and the others, "We beheld his glory." They saw the earthly life of Jesus Christ more than anybody else. more than anybody, certainly more than us. But they beheld his ministry part of his life more than anybody else. What an amazing thing it must have been to be with Jesus day in and day out for 3 years. And they got to do that. Jesus said, "Follow me." They followed him and they beheld his glory. They saw his miracles up close in real time. They heard the very words that Jesus spoke. They saw all those things. They heard all those things. John would later write in 1 John chapter 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it." You know, John didn't get over the excitement, the thrill. We beheld his glory. He said, we had the opportunity to witness Jesus, the Son of God, come down, the Word made flesh. We got to see him. But that we must also have included those who were alive, humanly speaking, in that day. Those who were physically present during Jesus' earthly ministry, they too got to behold the glory of Christ. Even those who were critical of him, those who tried to trip him up and so on, they beheld the things, some of the same things that Peter and James and John and the other apostles had seen. They heard him personally. People, those people who were healed, they beheld his glory. Those people who heard his words and said, "Never man spake like this man," they beheld his glory. But realize tonight that by extension, we too get to behold his glory. Through reading the scriptures and through reading especially the accounts of the gospels, we get to behold the glory of the Word when he was made flesh and dwelt among men. So we're not left out altogether out of the picture. As a matter of fact, in some ways, we have an even greater opportunity. Because Peter, who saw the Lord in his glory, would later write in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we have also a more sure word of prophecy than the very audible voice that we heard God speak with from glory. So we have God's word. We have the word of God. We get to behold his glory. How do we behold it? The word behold means to look closely at. Sadly, many who were alive in Jesus' day missed his glory, really. Some were too busy to go and meet him. They may have heard about him and heard this man is doing these miracles here, and then maybe this is the Son of God. And they said, "Well, you know, some other time I'll maybe see if I can go see him or hear him or whatever." But they missed out. Some witnessed his miracles and they still missed out on his glory because they refused to believe in him. As we read about this morning, some said, "He has a devil. He's not God in the flesh. He's a blasphemer." And so they missed seeing his glory. Jesus even had to ask Philip, one of his own apostles, in John chapter 14, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me?" You know, even those who beheld his glory really didn't behold it like they could have and like they should have. So busy about their own life and so full of their own prejudices, in some cases they missed out on the glory. How many today fail to open up the Word of God and fail to give God's Word any place in their life, and they miss out on beholding the glory of the Word made flesh? But we might say, well, what is His glory? The word glory means dignity, honor, splendor. John says here that we beheld his glory, and he says what that glory was, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This was the glory of God that we beheld, the glory of God the Son. You know, we think often about the glory of the Lord, and you know, these people, they beheld his glory. John said we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. To behold his glory was to see him for who he was. Not the carpenter's son from Nazareth, but the Word made flesh. That's to see him for who he is. To recognize him, as we saw this morning, as the I Am. What an opportunity was theirs to see the glory of the Lord. And yet, I say again, what an opportunity is ours through the pages of this book to behold the glory of the Lord. And in our lives, as God works in our lives, as we've heard testified tonight, how is His glory seen? How did John behold His glory? What does he mean, we beheld His glory? When we think about seeing the Lord in His glory, probably, if your thoughts are anything like mine, you probably think one day the Lord will be seen in all His glory. When He comes again, we'll see the Lord in His glory. When we stand before Him in heaven, then we'll see the glory of the Lord. When every knee bows and every tongue confesses that He is Lord, that will be when we behold the glory of the Lord. But John again says this in a past tense, we beheld the glory, His glory. When? When He was made flesh. When He dwelt among us. Because He was made flesh, it gave mankind an opportunity to see His glory. You see, Moses saw the glory of God up on that mountain, but it was surrounded by clouds and nobody else could see. They just heard the thunderings and the lightnings and they didn't see the glory of God. Oh yes, they saw the Shekinah glory of God come down upon the tabernacle and they saw and the glory of God filled the place, but they didn't see God in His glory like Moses did as he fellowshipped with God. And even Moses, when God said, had to say to him, look, you can only see my hinder parts because you can't take seeing me in all my glory. Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. But those brief glimpses of seeing God in His glory changed them forever. But now Jesus was on the earth and man had the opportunity to see more fully the glory of God. As God the Son walked from place to place, and they heard with their own ears His voice, and they saw with their eyes what He did. They saw the glory of His grace, full of grace and truth, John says. We see His glory in His grace, don't we? He became man, that's His grace. He became man for us. The Word was made flesh. He took upon Himself the form of sinful man, but He wasn't sinful, but He took upon Himself the form of man and was made like unto sinful flesh, the Bible tells us. The Word in whom was life came to die. The Creator became like the created. Such humility to be born in a stable to a humble family. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Behold the grace of God tonight. Behold the glory of God in seeing His grace. Behold the glory of God in seeing His truth, full of grace and truth. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59 verse 14, truth is fallen in the streets. We well could say the same today. We live in a day where truth is convenient or inconvenient. And people only tell the truth when it's convenient, it seems, to tell it many times. As part of a sinful world that's getting worse and worse, falsehood and lies are a regular part of daily life. But in a day of falsehood, the truth is refreshing. Behold the glory of God in His truth. Jesus spoke the truth in a time where people were being deceived by hypocritical leaders who told them to do one thing and they themselves did something else. He often began His conversations with verily, verily, or truly, truly. How masterfully Jesus spoke, so powerfully, but it was always with truth. It was always the truth that He spoke. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He would pray to the Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The glory of His truth. Truth is a hallmark of who God is. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. He never fails to fulfill His word. His promises can be taken to the bank. behold the glory of Christ in His truth. How about the glory of the celebration? This time of the year, we're remembering the nativity of Christ, the incarnation of Christ when He came to this earth. The Bible tells us when Luke records it in Luke chapter 2, he says that the sky was filled with the glory of God. The sky filled with the glory of God. Those angels came and were sent of God to the shepherds on the hillside, and the glory of God is said to have been there. Can you imagine the scene on that hillside as those angelic beings, not just one or two had shown themselves to mankind down through time, as to Samson's parents and different ones, but a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke said the glory of God shone round about them. What a time that must have been. All the planning that went into the coming of Christ, and now everything was in place. And as Paul records in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Behold His glory in that celebration of that night. I can't begin to imagine how the glory of God was seen that night when the angels came down to see their Creator wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The glory of God. Think of that night and behold His glory. But John says, we beheld His glory. He says, not only that night, I mean, they weren't there that night. Probably not even born, some of them. How did they behold His glory? They beheld the glory of His ministry, the glory of His works. We're told in John chapter 2, and if you still have your Bible open there to John 1, look at John 2, verse 11. The miracle of changing the water into wine says in verse 11 of chapter 2, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, look at that next phrase, and manifested forth His glory. John says, we beheld His glory. The Bible says that He manifested His glory in the work that He did. And His disciples believed on Him. Why? Because He manifested His glory. John chapter 11, verse 40, the Bible is giving us there the picture. John's giving us the picture of where Lazarus had died and his sisters, Mary and Martha, obviously heartbroken that their brother has died. And Jesus has been called, but Jesus doesn't come right away. And so Lazarus is there and he's dead. And Jesus is saying to them, remove the stone from the place where he's lying. And Martha says, no, wait, Lord, you can't do that. He's going to stink by now. He's been dead for 4 days. His flesh has seen corruption, as the Jews believed after the third day. His flesh has seen corruption. Don't do it, Lord. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said to Martha, Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Glory. Jesus manifested forth His glory because when that stone was rolled away and He said, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus came forth. And the glory of God was seen by the Word made flesh. Peter and James and John were with Jesus on that mount we call, referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration, recorded in the Gospels, but in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 5 is one of those accounts. And it talks about the glory of Christ. They saw the glory of Christ. His face shone. His garments were turned white and glowed, as it were. They saw the glory of God. And they heard that voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Imagine the glory of God seen by those men that day. John said the world couldn't contain the books of everything was written about Jesus and all that He did. His glory was manifested by His works and by the things that He did. Consider all that the Lord did. Consider what He's done in your life. Behold His glory. Behold the glory of God in answered prayer. Jesus would say in John chapter 14 and verse 13, He would talk about the glory of answering our prayers. John 14 verse number 13, it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. the glory of God revealed. How? Through prayers being answered. We've heard testimony of that tonight. God at work in answer to prayer. The glory of God. God's glorified when we ask in His name and those answers come, and we, as we've been encouraged tonight, give Him all the glory for it. He's worthy of it. Behold His glory. When you see what God, when you see God do what only God can do, what can you say? You just sit back and say, wow, what a great God. What a great God that could do such a thing. He reveals His glory to us. Though we have many struggles and difficulties, sometimes we come and say, I don't know what else to do. God says, leave it with me. There's nothing too hard for me. Tonight, take opportunity to pray and ask God to work and see Him do great things and give Him the glory. You'll see the glory of God when the answer comes. What is the effect of beholding His glory? What does it do for us? John said, we beheld His glory. Well, if you look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us what happens as we behold the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. We're encouraging, being encouraged tonight through the Word to behold His glory. What's going to happen when we behold the glory of God? Well, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, what's that next phrase say? Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of our Lord. What happens when we behold the glory of God? We're changed. John was changed. We already said when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he was changed. When Moses saw the Lord in all His glory on that mountain, when Moses saw the glory of God, his life was changed. Matter of fact, when he came down from that mountain, his face literally shone with the glory of God. And they had to say, Moses, we can't even look upon you. And Moses had to wear a veil over his face when he talked to the people because he was changed by the glory of God. And his face was literally aglow. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and we said he saw his own unworthiness, he said, woe is me. He heard the voice of God calling and he said, Lord, I'll go for you. I've seen you in your glory. I know who you are. I'll do anything you want me to, Lord. I'll go. You know, I wonder if part of the problem in our modern Christendom today is that we just aren't really beholding the glory of God. We take everything just, yeah, okay, yeah, it's all right. Are we taking the opportunity to soak up the Word of God and see God in His glory? If we are, we won't just be like, yeah. We're like, wow, what a great God. What an awesome Savior we have. Look what He did. Look what He's done in my life. Look what He's done for me. Praise God. We're changed. And we desire to share that glory with others. Psalm 96 verse 3 tells us that we should proclaim God's glory among the nations and to other people. Psalm 96 verse 3, I'll read it for you tonight. The Bible says, Psalm 96 verse 3, not 93 verse 6, but 96 verse 3, the psalmist says, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among the people. You know, there's a whole bunch of people around that live around about us, that work near us, that go to school near us, whatever, that just, they have no concept of God. They have no concept of the glory of God. But we who see God in His glory and have our lives changed need to declare His glory among the heathen. Say, hey, you should see what God did for me. You know what God did for some friends of mine? You should see what God has done. God is great. God is glorious. Remember Peter and John, they were threatened with their lives. They said, don't you ever speak anymore in his name. What did they say? They said, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. We've seen the glory of God. You can't shut us up. We can't not tell about who God is. That's the same John who wrote, we beheld his glory. He said, we can't but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says that it calls the gospel the light of the glorious gospel. The glorious gospel. What is the glorious gospel? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he came to seek and to save the lost. And he died on the cross so that we may have eternal life. He shed his blood so that we can be forgiven of our sins. That's glorious. Why? Because we behold the glory of the Word made flesh. When we see his glory, we must share it with others. And so this Christmas season, take time to consider and behold the glory of Christ. I know there's all kinds of sparkly things here, there, and everywhere, and the shopping, and there's gatherings, and all those things, but just put those things out of your mind a little bit and just say, I'm going to behold the glory of Christ, the Word made flesh. Let's not lose sight of the real meaning of what we're celebrating. By sacrificing the true meaning to some little temporal things. Enjoy them, sure, but don't let them take away your gaze and your focus from the one who needs to be beheld. Behold what he has done. Take time. Behold his grace and truth. Think about and behold that celebration that night when the Word was made flesh and revealed to man. Think about his works. The blind made to see, the deaf made to hear, the lame made to walk, the water turned into wine, the leper cleansed. Think about what he's done for you and your life, the blessings he showered upon you, the prayers you've seen answered. Give him the glory. Take time to behold the glory of Christ, because if you do, you'll be changed. You'll be changed. And there's a world out there that needs to know about God's glory. And the only way they're going to know about it is what we tell them. And we're not going to tell them unless we're thrilled with the glory of the Lord ourselves. So tonight I encourage you, behold his glory.